We have created a website to go along with the book. Please visit www.thecoddling.com. The site will be particularly useful for those listening to the audiobook because we have posted there a bunch of materials that are hard to convey through the spoken word. For example, you'll find a page with all of the graphs and images, another page with all of the endnotes, including clickable links, and another page with all of the references, the books and articles that we cite. Please do check it out, maybe even before you finish listening to this audiobook. Three quotations. Prepare the child for the road, not the road for the child. Folk wisdom, origin unknown. Your worst enemy cannot harm you as much as your own thoughts unguarded. But once mastered, no one can help you as much, not even your father or your mother. Buddha, Dhammapada. The line dividing good and evil cuts through the heart of every human being. Alexander Solzhenitsyn, The Gulag Archipelago. For our mothers, who did their best to prepare us for the road. Joanna Dalton Lukianoff and Elaine Haidt. Introduction. The Search for Wisdom. This is a book about wisdom and its opposite. The book grows out of a trip that Greg and I took to Greece in August of 2016. We had been writing about some ideas spreading through universities that we thought were harming students and damaging their prospects for creating fulfilling lives. These ideas were, in essence, making students less wise. So we decided to write a book to warn people about these terrible ideas, and we thought we'd start by going on a quest for wisdom ourselves. We both work on college campuses. In recent years, we had heard repeated references to the wisdom of Misoponos, a modern-day oracle who lives in a cave on the north slope of Mount Olympus, where he continues the ancient rites of the cult of Koalamos. We flew to Athens and took a 5-hour train ride to Litokoro, a town at the foot of the mountain. At sunrise the next day, we set off on a trail that Greeks have used for thousands of years to seek communion with their gods. We hiked for 6 hours up a steep and winding path. At noon, we came to a fork in the path where a sign said Misoponos, with an arrow pointing to the right. The main path, off to the left, looked forbidding. It went straight up a narrow ravine, with an ever-present danger of rock slides. The path to Misoponos, in contrast, was smooth, level, and easy, a welcome change. It took us through a pleasant grove of pine and fir trees, across a strong wooden pedestrian bridge, over a deep ravine, and right to the mouth of a large cave. Inside the cave, we saw a strange scene. Misoponos and his assistants had installed one of those take-a-number systems that you sometimes find in sandwich shops, and there was a line of other seekers ahead of us. We took a number, paid the 100 euro fee to have a private audience with the great man, performed the mandatory rituals of purification, and waited. When our turn came, we were ushered into a dimly lit chamber at the back of the cave, where a small spring of water bubbled out from a rock wall and splashed down into a large white marble bowl somewhat reminiscent of a bird bath. Next to the bowl, Misoponos sat in a comfortable chair that appeared to be a Barca Lounger recliner from the 1970s. We had heard that he spoke English, but we were taken aback when he greeted us in perfect American English with a hint of Long Island. "Come on in, guys. Tell me what you seek." I spoke first. "Oh, wise oracle, we have come seeking wisdom. What are the deepest and greatest of truths?" Greg thought we should be more specific, so he added, "Actually, we're writing a book about wisdom for teenagers, young adults, parents, and educators, and we were kind of hoping that you could boil down your insights into some pithy axioms, ideally 3 of them, which, if followed, would lead young people to develop wisdom over the course of their lives." Misoponos sat silent.